From a young age, I was never put, I wasn't put on the same platform as just girls. Like, okay. it was everyone. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, you're the best girl out there. It was, you know, how do you be the best, period? Mm-hmm. And, like, stop worrying about the differences, the small differences or the obvious differences. It's about how to be the best.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like that was kind of ingrained from a young age. And
was
so,
that from your parents?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yep. And so, you know, it's, and also not even just be the best, but forget it. Your best, which could be excessively better than everyone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's, take it to the limit, your limit, not someone else's limit. Mm-hmm. You know, don't beat them by one, beat them by 100 if you can.
This is episode number 94 with Danica Patrick. This episode is brought to you by a company that's made my life significantly easier, and that's Thrive Market. Thrive Market is an online marketplace, and they're on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. It allows you to shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below retail prices. But as a Pursuing Health listener, you'll receive an additional 25% off your first purchase, plus a free 30-day trial if you visit www.thrivemarket.com/ph. My husband Danny and I have been ordering from Thrive Market for years, and it's helped us to maximize our efficiency with grocery shopping and meal prep in the midst of our busy schedules through medical training. Using Thrive Market, we can shop for all of our staple grocery items, things like nut butters, cooking oils, snacks, dressings, coffee and tea, even personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies, and non-toxic beauty products. We know that they're coming from a curated list of products we can trust. Whether you're looking for paleo, vegan, ketogenic, gluten-free, non-GMO, sustainably farmed, fair trade certified, or any of 80 plus other types of products, you can easily find them by filtering on Thrive Market's platform. And they're all at prices 25 to 50% below retail. Even better, these items are shipped straight to your doorstep, so you never have to worry about the time or hassle of grocery shopping. Here's a few other reasons to love Thrive Market. First, they're the very first company in the country to go 100% zero waste. All of their packaging, boxes, and inserts are made from recycled paper and are recyclable themselves. They're the largest retailer in the country that sells exclusively non-GMO groceries, and more than 70% of the Thrive Market catalog cannot be found on Amazon. It provides greater access to high-quality products at prices comparable to conventional products in supermarkets. This helps to decrease the barriers to healthy living for everyone. We also have the opportunity to vote with our forks every single day to change our food environment in this country, and Thrive Market can help us do so by supporting companies that are also working towards this mission and producing high-quality, healthy, and sustainable foods. So that's why I love Thrive. Thrive's mission again is to make healthy living easy and approachable to everyone, and this aligns perfectly with my own personal mission and that of Pursuing Health. Because it's been such a lifesaver for me, I wanted to share the benefits of Thrive Market with all of you, and they've responded with an amazing offer. So once again, head to thrivemarket.com/ph to receive 25% off your first purchase plus a free 30-day trial. Again, this is on top of their already 25 to 50% below retail prices. Why not try it out and do your grocery shopping from home this week? I hope you can take advantage of this offer and enjoy their service as much as I have. Once again, head to thrivemarket.com/ph to learn more. No discount code necessary, just shop around and the discount will be applied at checkout. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep. Now, I think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there is a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals raised in feedlots that are fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and that it will taste amazing. They allow you to order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I are super excited about firing up our backyard grill this summer to enjoy our ButcherBox selections with tons of vegetables from our local CSA. And you can join us. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. Just head to butcherbox.com/Julie for $20 off your order, plus a free order of their delicious bacon. Again, that's butcherbox.com/Julie. Hope you can check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for us. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm Julie Fouché, family medicine resident and former CrossFit Games athlete. Here, I bring to you information and inspiration from experts and everyday individuals for how to use lifestyle to maximize health. Thank you so much for joining me. Now let's get started with this week's episode. Hey there, welcome back to Pursuing Health. I am super excited to share this episode with you, which I had the chance to record with Danica Patrick at this past year's CrossFit Games. She's a woman who really needs no introduction, but if you aren't familiar with Danica, she made headlines as the first woman to achieve a number of landmark victories on the IndyCar circuit as well as in NASCAR as a professional race car driver over the past 13 plus years. This past May, she retired from racing by competing in the Danica Double, or the Daytona 500, as well as the Indianapolis 500, to finish off her career. In addition to her racing accomplishments, Danica has been named to Time's 100 Most Influential People. She's also graced the covers of magazines such as ESPN and Sports Illustrated, and she's appeared in a record-setting 14 Super Bowl commercials. She recently authored a fitness book called Pretty Intense, and she's now shifting her focus to the next chapter as an entrepreneur and a business owner with a focus on improving health. She's been a longtime CrossFitter and has also been a huge fan of the CrossFit Games, so I couldn't wait to sit down with her between events at this year's competition, and we discussed her goals after retirement, her experience as a trailblazer in racing, and how she uses a holistic approach to constantly push herself to be her very best. Before we get started, a few quick reminders. First, this episode is produced by CrossFit Beyond the Whiteboard, the best workout tracking in the biz and the one I've been using since 2009. You can learn more at beyondthewhiteboard.com. If you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes to subscribe and consider giving it a rating. I'm also always looking for inspiring stories to share. So if you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send your story to me at info@juliefouché.com and I'll select some to share here on future episodes. Finally, please remember that although I am now officially a doctor, this podcast is meant to share the experiences of individuals and does not provide medical advice. So with that, let's get started with episode number 94 of Pursuing Health featuring Danica Patrick. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm super excited to be here with Danica Patrick. Thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Yeah, thank you. I'm pursuing health, so this is an ideal scenario.
Perfect. And right now we're at the CrossFit Games in Madison. And is this your second?
Yeah.
Second time at the game?
Yep.
So what is the experience like for you? What is it like to be here and watch?
Well, I started doing CrossFit in 2013. And the games are obviously always in California. Mm-hmm. And with the race schedule being every single weekend, I was never, I never had time to get that far. So when they moved to Madison, it was like, oh man, that's like an hour or two flight to anywhere we need to go. So it became realistic. And it's the second time, but this time I can stay longer, obviously, because I'm not racing anymore. So it's always just cool to see athletes at the highest level of their mm-hmm. sport compete, because it's a show, you know, it's stuff that you can't do. And I was just having a conversation last night about CrossFit, and obviously there's so many people that, you know, the vast majority of the people are that walk into the affiliates, right? They're mm-hmm. not the games people. I mean, shoot, like, I'm pretty good at CrossFit, but people are like, oh, you're going to CrossFit some, you know, compete? And I'm mm-hmm. like, I could never even make regionals. Like, I'm not even close.
Right.
But that's the, you know, like, I'm one of those people that walks into an affiliate. So that's a vast majority of them. And what's cool is that you come to the games and, like, you know, some other sports like basketball, football, you know, baseball, mm-hmm. you can play it and see what it's like. So you can go to your affiliate and try a clean and jerk and be like, they're clean and jerking what? You know, like, it's just so amazing because you can relate and you can be like, I have no idea how they do that. So
it's incredible. Even, I mean, the events last night, we saw the clean and jerk speed ladder and just how easy those girls made it look. It was just,
it was crazy watching the ladder, because you watch the first phase of the ladder mm-hmm. and some of the people that
some that I expected to do really well mm-hmm. didn't look as fast. And then all of a sudden they get into the second ladder, it's even more. And all of a sudden
they're faster.
And I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's so impressive.
It's such a lightweight that throws their timing off, obviously, when it's only 260 or 165.
Right. So light.
You know all about that.
No, I could not even hang with the girls now. It's incredible how quickly the field advances.
That's why I have such admiration for any of the athletes that have been in it for a while I feel like I cheer for Annie Thor's daughter because she's been around for quite a long time. So she's endured the introduction of the youth coming in and this, new phase of athletes that have been doing it for a really, doing it from a really young age and they're still really young.
Yeah.
Scott Panchik and people like that, they've just been at it for so long and you're like, wow, it's crazy they can still compete.
Yeah. Staying there at the top and doing it year after year. I think it's now Annie, it's been 10 years since her first CrossFit Games and Becca, it's her 10th CrossFit. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. How many years did you do it? What was your first year?
My first year was 2010, and then I did it. 2014 was my last year at the games.
Did you get hurt? I can't remember. I'm trying to remember.
I did. Yeah, the last regionals in 2015, I got hurt, so I didn't go to the games that year. But
How'd that? I'm sorry.
It was my Achilles. So I was doing. It was box jumps and tore my Achilles.
Were you bounding?
Yeah. And it was my fault. Like my Achilles had been bothering me for years, and I kept. I tried to. Rehab them, but probably could have done a lot more. And
what kind of stuff did you do to try and rehab it?
I tried to take it easy from the rebounding box jumps and do more different types of bounding and a lot of just like working on my calves and like rolling my calves and eccentric, really good for Achilles is eccentric weighted toe raises.
Yeah.
So basically like holding a weight and just starting from the top of your toe raise and lowering down. So I still do a lot of those to try to prevent more problems, but
I've always found that when you're stretching like your calf to bend your knee, it gets lower and deeper, like down towards that area. And I'm like, it's always such a nice stretch that people just think it's like a straight stretch. I feel like with their leg straight hanging off of a step. But if you bend your leg, all of a sudden you're like, ooh, that's good.
Yeah. There's
let me get right on my tiptoes and do that. Yeah.
Well,
that's always, I always feel like, for the way that I ended up getting, to the place that I am now and not racing anymore, it's not like sometimes it's just not straight up easy decision, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're not ready. Sometimes we don't realize. Sometimes we don't know something better is waiting.
Right.
And we're just like, we're still in the mode. And so, you had an injury. Obviously, I always knew that you were, very intelligent and, becoming a doctor and everything. I'm like, wow, she's got it going on. So, you had something else going on. And obviously, it was time to focus on that more.
Right.
And for me, it was, I never, ever had a problem with sponsorship. I always knew what I was doing a year or 2 years before I got there. Like, I was always there. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, my primary sponsor left at the beginning of last year. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the be-all end all, but it was the start of the new shift of like, what would it be like? Because when it happened, it's like,
such a shock.
What could happen now? Is my team going to run me? Contractually they still had to, and the sponsors ended up picking up, and they still got a ton of money out of it. But it was like it started the thought process of, because I hadn't even thought about retiring.
So that
yet,
was
really.
The first time
it was kind of
considered
like
it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I was like. Oh, maybe I could be done. And then I was like, at first I was like, oh no, I'm not ready. And it almost felt good to say I'm not ready. Cause I love racing, but I think I'm better at other things even, So it was kind of that start of that process. And so was it a long process for you to arrive there, or was it just like, nope, I'm ready?
Well, for me, I was kind of lucky because I had a decision sort of made for me. So I'd already been in med school and I knew, like 2015 was going to be my last year because I couldn't prolong med school any longer. I had to go back and do that full time. And at that time, it really became a full time job to train and compete and stay at that level. So I knew it was going to be my last season anyways. And it just happened to end with an injury. But I mean, I'm so happy with the way that everything turned out.
Yeah.
And I had, what helped so much for me is I knew I had that other kind of career to look towards. And I was so, after I was so busy, then I was rehabbing my Achilles. I was,
going
busy with med school.
Yeah.
So it wasn't quite as hard as I thought it would be. But, I didn't even think about, people would always ask me, what's it going to be like when you're done? And I was like, oh, I'll just worry about it when it comes. And then it ended up coming earlier than I expected. But It wasn't, it wasn't so bad.
The point of it, other than just like sitting here and telling our stories, which people kind of know our stories, is like, look for the signs.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we're not ready to do it ourselves yet. And so if you start getting signs that are like, it's time for a change, just listen and pay attention and follow your gut and, you know, start listening with your heart instead of your head. And, you know, don't be worried about that connection that you have with your identity where you are. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. You're still the same person. You just can shift and evolve into a new place. And, you know, it's just, I think that a lot of people have a hard time figuring, like, there's so many people I talk to that they're not happy in their job, but they're like, what else am I going to do? It's like, well, pretty much nothing if that's your attitude. Nothing.
Right, if you don't think about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you just have to follow your, you know, listen with, you know, follow the heart instead of the head sometimes and, you know, see where that goes. But listen, watch the signs, listen for, you know, the message signs that you get and just pay attention. And, you know, I'm always a big fan of try harder. That's like a saying, and it's, I have.
Just try harder.
It's really simple. Just try harder, because you always can.
Right. Everyone loves that in the middle of a workout. Just try harder.
Try harder. So try harder, but then also, you know, get out of the way, get out of your own way sometimes when the signs are telling you it's time to make a change.
Yeah. So what were some of those? You said the initial sign was with the sponsors, but as you started to then consider and process and think about your decision, what were some of those factors that came into play?
You know, I have all these other businesses, so it's called a wine proprietor. I make wine.
So fancy.
They're like, do you want owner or do you want proprietor? I'm like, you know, on my title, I'm like, proprietor sounds pretty cool.
It sounds really cool.
So I make wine. So I have that business. It's been going on since 2009.
That's so cool.
And it's finally for sale starting last year. It's called Somnium. And so
and
we make California wine.
Is that sold in stores or mostly online?
It's mostly online.
Okay.
Yep. And then I have a clothing line called Warrior that's athleisure. Should play into a lot of the folks listening maybe.
Then
I wrote a book called Pretty Intense, which really was obviously this might be an interesting topic, especially because it has to do with hormones, but in a couple of years ago, 3 years ago maybe or so now, I can't remember exactly, the timeline evades me at this age, but when I was 33, I did IVF to freeze my eggs.
Okay.
And I just wanted control of my future when I didn't have control. Like, I was like, well, I can do this.
Take a little extra insurance.
Exactly. So I did it. And within, like, the last week before you do the retrieval, like, it can be a little dangerous to work out. So you're not supposed to, just because you have so many follicles that are, like, they grow to almost, like, an inch by an inch each. And, you know, when you've got, you know, 30 on each side,
that's a lot.
It's a lot
it's like
of square footage.
Yeah.
It's like looking 3 months pregnant, basically.
Wow.
And, or four, it seemed like. And, so then for a little while after, you got to be a little bit careful when all the inflammation kind of goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So, but within those short little 2 weeks of still eating well, probably even better because I knew I wasn't able to really work out.
Yeah.
I gained like 4 or 5 pounds just from hormones. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, you know, they said it's just inflammation. You have a cycle, it'll go away.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Sure.
Cycle comes, cycle goes, another cycle. I'm like, I think I just got fatter is what happened.
Yeah, something is wrong here.
I have to lose legitimate weight. This sucks. And I went from eating gluten and dairy free to eating full paleo.
Okay.
And I was only going to do it for a week just to kind of like
reset. Yeah.
And then I was like, that's not that hard. And I kept doing it. And then it's been years. So so I did that. And then I started playing with 2-a-day workouts.
Okay.
And just incorporating like a little interval cardio workout as a second workout a day. And I just got a huge change in my body. So I ended up writing a book about it.
That's
and,
amazing.
So it's a 3-part book that has, the first section is on mind body connection.
Mm-hmm.
Cause really your power is derived from your brain.
Yes.
Right. And so what you believe you can do and can't do. So, you know, and then it goes into a workout program, which the fit test starts off, and the fit test is, I mean, the hard thing is, and you'll get this, like, it's hard to think of a workout that you can give people that's going to be challenging after 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's doable at week
the beginning,
one,
yeah.
Right? So it's like, you know, burpees don't get introduced until a month in.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's because it's for at home with minimal equipment. So it's 100 air squats, 100 alternating lunges, 100 sit-ups, CrossFit sit-ups or butterfly sit-ups. If you don't do CrossFit, it's basically what it is. And then 100 knee push-ups.
Okay.
Because I was like, look, they're not going to be able to do regular push-ups, so we'll just do knee push-ups.
Yeah.
And so that's the fit test. So, but you got to read the first part of the book with the mind part to be able to go,
that.
Oh my God, you want me to do 100?
Right.
It's like, no, I mean, yes, of course I do, but you don't have to do 100 straight. Like, you're not a games athlete or you're not me. I'm writing the program for you. Just break it up. Do sets of 10, do sets of 5, whatever. And so that's very overwhelming. So it starts off with that as the fit test, and then it's a 12-week program. And then there's 50 recipes that I wrote.
Oh,
and then I tried my hand at photography, which ended up working out okay. So I wrote and photographed all the recipes.
That's amazing. I love watching on your Instagram your recipes and the things
that
you cook.
Really?
I'm like, I wish I would put this much effort into my meals.
I feel like I've dropped out on it because I feel like, you know, there's only so many ways to repurpose, you know, vegetables and things like that. And I feel like it's the same breakfast. You don't want to see my breakfast, but I'll have to do more of those. And I've been looking, and I need to do more yoga pictures too. People love those too. And I'm like, I need to do more yoga because I think I believe in sort of the trinity of fitness of being strength, endurance, and flexibility. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the flexibility is what helps you not get hurt too. So, and yoga is just good for your mind anyway. I feel like it's such a good play on push and pull because, you know, sometimes you have to let go to get into a pose deeper, but you got to also push and try. So it's this, you know, duality of life on your mat. And so I like the mental side of it, but I also like the flexibility side that is so important.
And I think so important for this population in general, you know, people who are very intense, it's nice to do something that kind of balances that out and challenges you in a different way.
Right.
So you know how to like down regulate and relax a little bit.
Right. So that's kind of what, you know, having those businesses, that was my really long-winded answer of what the hell else am I up to and what led me to retirement. But I was like, I have these other things and I love them.
Yeah.
Like, I think I might be better at probably cooking and working out than racing in the end. Like, I mean, I enjoy doing what I do in my free time. So my advice to anyone ever is like, okay, if you don't know what you want to do or you're not happy, just what do you take pictures of?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if you could do anything? What do you do for fun on the weekends? Mm-hmm. What do you do? You know, who do you follow on social media? Like, those are the leads you need to follow to figure out what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm. What makes you really happy and excited.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's so good. We were talking about that earlier, but just having that kind of plan of what are these other things in your life and kind of diversifying your interests and knowing that there's life beyond, you know, competition or whatever your current career or work is, and having that, because you never know what could happen in life if you get derailed or if your path changes. So
yeah, and it can be really scary, for sure.
Oh,
And I get, like, I mean, I'm in a very fortunate situation where, you know, I'm financially fine, and you know, I have houses, and you know, it can be scary because it's such a vulnerability for people when they, you know, are so unhappy, but they're like, I can't do it because I need to pay my bills, and like I get it.
Right,
and people think that they
family,
have to jump in all the way, but it's really not like that. You don't have to. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that have been incredibly successful, especially probably from an invention side, creative side, where they've got like side projects that they let grow. And once it gets big enough that it takes too much of their time, then they go, okay, I'm going to make the leap.
Yeah.
Right. They don't have to just jump ship. You can just start slow.
Gradually.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And you talked a little bit about kind of how your nutrition has evolved, and your fitness, but can you just talk about that? Like, how did you get into CrossFit?
Yeah.
Do you remember what your first workout was?
Yeah.
And then how did it evolve into what your training is like today?
Yeah, I started at the beginning of 2013.
Okay.
And a friend had started CrossFit. Mm-hmm. And so it was a Saturday morning workout. And I was in a group of with these two girls in a group of three, and we won that day.
Nice.
And now
good
I did
start.
Have to scale some things, but you know, we won.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure in those team workouts, there's, you know, unless you're like, you know, you've got your gym and it's evolved. Because that's the thing, is sometimes gyms start out and they are quite junior, like they're everybody's learning, and so the workouts have to be catered towards that, and then the gym evolves, and then the workouts become more difficult. You know, where, you know, they're doing 65 pounds for the RX, and then all of a sudden the RX becomes 95 pounds just because the
everyone's getting better.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm pretty sure everyone was scaling, and or at least in my mind they were. And so we won, and I was like, oh my God, this is so great! I love this. I haven't won in way too long. Yeah. And that's then awesome. I just kept doing it, and it was just so fun. And, you know, I also think that it's this great, balance of competition, which mm-hmm. is obviously I want to beat you, which is kind of what mean, and it's aggressive and it's like not encouraging necessarily, for the other person. But then all of a sudden, the very last person who is the worst in the class that day is getting cheered for the most.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, and so I love that. I love that the biggest cheers happen for the one that's finishing up. And it's not a sympathy cheer. It's right. a, we know you can do it because we've been there.
Yep.
Exactly.
That was, we had some of those moments. Even this week, we've been dropping into a local gym here in Madison. And so it's all drop-ins from people just here for the games. And you know, every time it's like everyone's gathered around that last person and
so
doing
cool.
their burpees with them. It's so,
so
cool.
I love that. So it's just such a community, and it really grabs you fast. And that's the one thing that, I mean, everyone can relate to that's gone to CrossFit, I feel like, is like, you know, it's like, it's the old Fight Club joke where it's like, first rule of CrossFit, always talk about CrossFit.
Yeah. So like, much so that everyone else wants to like,
either punch you or they need to try it, right? They either hate you or they love you and they want to go with you.
Right.
So, but it is. And I think if you try it, you feel that community and you feel the challenge and you are growing yourself, especially from a mental standpoint. You know this. I mean, you've been to the games so many times and you've competed. Like, it's so, you've got to be strong in your mind. Yeah. And it's the same thing. Like, it's the nervous peas before the WOD starts at your local box. And it's like, it doesn't really, really matter, but everybody wants to do well. And so there's so much mental development. And so that's like when I wrote the workout program for people, you know, I wanted them to get stronger mentally and believe that they could do something they've never done before, because that seeps out into your life everywhere else. And you go, what else can I do?
Yeah. There's so much power in that confidence. Yeah. Speaking of that, were you already doing things for exercise prior to CrossFit, and how did starting CrossFit maybe help you with your racing career?
Yeah.
Both physically and maybe mentally.
Yeah. I mean, I think the mental side is there. I mean, I think just the discipline of something is a good practice.
Yeah.
And physically, I mean, I've pretty much, especially in NASCAR, have always been more fit than I need to be to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people that definitely don't work out and don't eat right that are fine. So it's not like a sport where you have to be elite.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to feel good and I always wanted to look good.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, that's been my driving force. So I started off working out for go-karting way, way back when I was like 14 years old.
Okay.
And my parents would let me drive the car to like the local little gym that was a few miles from the house. Totally illegally when I was young, 14, 15 years old.
I think it worked out for you.
Yeah, it seemed to work out. And so I'd work out, and then, you know, I think there's really only been like maybe one phase of my life in like my later teenage years where I didn't work out really as much.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much since I was about 14, I've really worked out, and it's only gotten worse.
Yeah.
I mean, people think I'm crazy probably for two-a-days. It's like, it's possible, okay?
If you enjoy it and you feel good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I think I overtrain, but I don't know. I mean, what's your experience as far as, like, training goes? Like, is there, I mean, for a, you know, like, for someone, because this is for me. I'm going to ask for me.
Yeah.
For someone trying to, I'm not trying to be a games athlete. I want to be good at things, but I don't need to, I mean, I don't need to continue to PR. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do that. I just want to be, you know, I want to look athletic yet feminine and, you know, be strong and you know, keep my heart healthy, keep my body moving, and stay young as long as I can. So, you know, is there like a general, and everybody's different. I get it. That's always a good, course, an answer is like everybody's different, including diet. But you know, is there like a general sort of, format you would recommend for someone trying to achieve that? And I mean, I'm not trying to achieve average results. I want to look amazing. Right.
So you want to have above average results, but I think it's a great question. And I think, for me, this is something I'm trying to figure out too, because now my goal is not competing, and I just want to stay healthy and, you know, have longevity and be able to do this until I'm 80 or 90 or whatever.
I want to evolve into walking.
Yeah,
eventually I want to be a walker when I'm in my, I'm thinking 70s.
Yeah,
I'm ready for walking.
You could do power walking and regular walking.
Maybe hiking at the best, at the most.
But yeah, I think like you said, it's a combination of things. So I think obviously nutrition is probably one of the most important things. And then
always,
I think it depends on the intensity of your workouts too. Like, you know, the way, and I love the way CrossFit.com programs where it's one workout, it's meant to be done at the highest intensity. And then you're having 1 to 2 rest days a week. I think rest days are super important too.
I'm not very good at those.
I know, it's
like
hard.
At all. Like it's I'm hard. Really not. Like for me, a rest day is like, I'll go do 2 hours of yoga.
That's okay. At least it's yoga. I was going to say, that's where yoga comes in. For me, I love yoga. I love going, like,
do you?
Just going and doing yoga or going to like the gym and sitting in the sauna.
Such
or, like,
a compromise
doing
being strong and being flexible.
Yeah,
such a compromise. I mean, there was a girl I just saw. I just did a workshop back in Scottsdale, Arizona, with my cute little teacher from Chicago who just happened to show up to do a workshop at the place I go in Scottsdale. And, you know, the girl behind me was talking about starting to lift weights. And she's like, but I'm not as flexible. I'm like, it's a trade-off.
It just is. I noticed. I started doing yoga when I was in high school. And then after I started doing CrossFit, a lot of the poses got so much harder just because you have, you're tighter and then you have more muscle bulk that like gets in your way of trying to maneuver into these poses. So it is definitely a trade-off. But
Okay. I'm sorry. I distracted you.
But yeah, I think probably, and we don't know because CrossFit, again, you know, people maybe have been doing it for 10, 15 years at the most.
Right.
So we don't know, you know, what is the best in, if you're trying to maximize your fitness over your life. But I would imagine a one intense workout a day, and then maybe if you feel
by
good
one
and you
intense
do
workout, do you mean like what is on CrossFit.com?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's, you know, one by one by one by one by one by one by one back squat, right? I mean, like, is that your workout? Is that your one intense workout?
It could be, and I think maybe if you're going for longevity, maybe that is best. But I think that a lot of us feel better if we do a little bit of a Metcon every day, or we do something that
gets
where
heart,
we can
right?
sweat, or maybe supplementing it with, like you said, some slower cardio or just kind of like some intervals or something like that. But again, I think you have to go by how you feel. If you feel good, your times are improving, your numbers are improving, then you're probably, and your body feels good. You don't feel like you're beat up all the time. Then you're probably doing it okay. You know,
that's probably true. Cause there are times where, you know, I'm like, I am just spent.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you say do like something intense every day. Take 1 or 2 rest days a week, right?
Yeah.
Write that down, Danica.
Write that down.
And then write that down again.
Rest is important.
And then write that down again. Ooh, sleep's also something I'll compromise on. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's tough. And it's what, I'm going to ask a question about sleep and hormones in a minute.
Okay.
But so 1 to 2 rest days, you know, maybe a Metcon and the CrossFit workout, which could be like a lifting maneuver or, you know, something more intense.
Yeah.
Because the Metcons are, they can be intense, but they also can be 15, 20 minutes, which
time
can't
of
be that intense.
Yeah. Well, it's all relative, right?
Right. That's true. I'm like, I tell people, I'm like, you can make a workout out of air squats if you try hard enough.
Yeah. You can make anything hard.
Do you believe enough. In, I contacted, RP Transformations that does like lifting and nutrition. And I was actually asking about nutrition because I'm like, I'm very good at it, but I'm like, you know what? I don't know the science. So it's like, is there timing and macros I'm messing up? And, but I also got a lifting program too. And I actually really enjoy that.
That's
I feel
cool.
like
it's nice.
Lifting
to have a program,
is a really great thing that I feel like women are so scared of.
Yes.
And I'm like, hey, you can't change the shape of your body running, okay? You only can change the shape of your body lifting weights and changing your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if you gain a little muscle mass, you get scared of gaining weight, which, you know, muscle weighs 2.5 times more than fat, which, you know, takes up less space, so don't be so scared. But it's like, you know, hormonally, we're not really programmed to be bulky people, like humongous.
Yeah.
So, you know, people get scared of lifting weights, and it's like, you know, you should have a healthy balance of a lot of different things, but people are so scared of that. And it's,
I know. And it's, I tell people too, it's like your body type is your body type. Like, look at all these women at the CrossFit Games. They all train 5 hours a day, whatever. They're doing tons of lifting and they don't all look the same. They don't all look huge.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
some women are naturally going
to
be,
but let's face it, they're probably predisposed to it too.
Oh, sure.
Like, that's why they started and they're like, oh, I could do it. I'm really good.
Yeah.
Period. From the beginning, because their body is built for it. Where, you know, someone else that, you know, their hormones are a little different. They're a little more heavier on the estrogen side.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, you know, more curvy body. You know, they might try CrossFit, and even if they're, you know, relatively fit, they're like, mm-hmm. their body's just not built for it.
Right. And again, I think so much of it comes down to nutrition. Like, sure, you can bulk up, you know, you can get stronger, but then if you still have a lot of body fat, then you may feel like you're too bulky. But
yeah,
if you're just lifting and you're not thinking about your nutrition, then that might be an area to look at too.
Do you think that for, you know, looking at all the games athletes, there are some, especially when you look at the women, there's a little more diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like being ultra lean compromises any performance? I'm just saying because from an endurance standpoint, from a recovery standpoint, like, you know, you're just not quite as maybe prepared physically to deal with overload or, you know what I mean? I don't know. I mean,
agree. I think,
I mean, when you work out a lot and eat right, you know, by nature, you tend to get there. But like, there's some that are extremely lean.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I mean, I think it depends on the person, but I think that probably having a little bit of body fat helps you, especially getting through this week. I mean, look at the volume of things that they have to do.
Yeah.
And if you're not able to keep up with that, you could, you know, it may be better to be a little bit heavier. But again, it's all compromise because you're going to have events where that's going to favor, you know, you're going to be favored if you're a little bit lighter, and then you're going to have other events like the heavy lifting and the CrossFit total where you may want to be a little heavier.
True.
So
yeah, true. Yeah. Such a, it's, you know, I feel like I'm always asking questions because I'm always like in seek of an answer, but really it comes from trying things yourself, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's all,
I've been talking
experiment.
To people about all kinds of different things, and I'm like, you know, I wrote the book on, you know, that I wrote, which is very CrossFit inspired with the workouts and the food and everything, of course. And I'm like, you know what I feel like would be really interesting, not only from a personal standpoint, mm-hmm. but also maybe then from a reader's standpoint, is to write a book where every 3 months I try a different program.
That would be cool.
Where I document it. I have before and after photos.
Yeah.
I document the process, how I feel, energy levels, all that stuff. And I go, okay, this is what a paleo diet looks like with me. This is a vegan diet, right?
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is what weightlifting and minimal cardio does. This is what, you know, pure cardio does for, you know what I mean? Just out of curiosity, just because, you know, I think it's going to generally take people in the similar direction, but it's still, you know, like just a cool experiment. I don't know.
I love that. And I think that really everyone should be doing that, right? Like we should all experiment and figure out what works best for us. And, you know, there's plenty of people who say, oh, well, vegan diets aren't for me, but they've never actually tried it.
Right.
You don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people who may feel better on more of a vegan diet and other people who may feel better on more of a, you know, animal-based diet, but you don't know until you try it.
Well, you're a doctor, so what would you say?
I really am big on personal experimentation. So I generally think that, like, an elimination diet is something that everyone should do because I think finding out what foods your body responds best to is so important in doing that in kind of a scientific way so that you get that information back. And then, you know, starting from a starting place and then kind of tweaking from there one thing at a time and really paying attention to how you feel and how you perform.
Yeah. Such a process. People, you know, people just want the answer, right?
Right.
I get it. Me
right.
too.
They just want, and it's easier, right? Like when you get a program or you get something, someone just tells you what to do and you just have to follow it. It's so much easier.
Yeah. So sleep and hormones.
Yeah.
Okay. Like what do you know about that?
I can't say that I'm an expert on sleep. I mean, I know it's incredibly important for our health. I know it's probably one of the most important things that we can do.
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about
sleep
and hormones, though.
Yeah. I went through a phase where I was sleeping a lot less. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like I noticed my body fat go up a little bit.
Really?
And I was still working out like crazy, dedicated. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I mean, there is kind of a cycle with like stress and cortisol. And if you're more stressed and your cortisol is higher, you're not going to sleep as much. And then it's like this vicious circle.
Yeah.
So I know that can make sense.
So I'm going to start sleeping more.
Yeah. And I know even like my
I have, and I feel like I've noticed a little change just in, you know, going from like, honestly, somewhere between 5 or 6 hours,
mm-hmm.
maybe 7 at the most, to like 7, 8.
Yeah, that's huge.
You know, 7, 8 is much different than 6.
Mm-hmm. Very different.
So yeah, I think I'm a believer because I went through a pretty long period where I didn't sleep much.
A lot. My husband just graduated from residency, and he, in the past month, you know, he's gotten a lot more sleep and he's like a completely different person.
Really?
Yeah. And he's, well, he's like trying to gain weight. So he ended up gaining because he's been eating a lot more too.
Stop talking about
him. I know.
Boys. Everybody has their issues.
It's true. But anyways, I want to talk a little bit too about your racing career and just kind of now that you're on this side of things, how do you feel? Are you happy with your decision? Are you happy with the way it ended up? And, you know, what are some of the highlights or moments that you will always look back on?
Yeah, I feel like there's people that, you know, ask me that, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm good.
I'm great.
I decided to retire. It's my decision. Of course I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be things along the way that pop up that are unexpected of like I, you know, had a day the other last week that was, you know, a Monday with absolutely nothing to do. And it took me until I'm normally like. Like, I'm the person that's like, oh, no, I'm not going to work out. And then I find a way to work out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, it took me till like 3 o'clock in the afternoon to actually finally work out. I was so lazy. And I'm like, I just need a goal. I need like something to do around the middle of the day every day so that I get my workout done. I do that and I can either work out again or I can go do something or I can, you know, run an errand or I need a semi plan for most days just so I can get moving.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, that was the conversation. It's like, these are the things about retirement you're going to have to think about, you know, how are you going to deal with all less going on?
Right.
And, you know, if that bothers you, then you need to let people know that you want to be more busy. And and I do that. So,
yeah,
but I actually was, I have also been saying that it's, I'm looking forward to being less busy. I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to getting bored. Because I think that when you get bored, you are sort of like it's like stoking the fire all of a sudden. You're like, you get ambitious to do something else.
Yeah.
So it's when you're running on empty all the time and just getting by that maybe the ambition or the fire is a little lower for something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to actually get to a place where I'm stir crazy, where I'm like, I just want to do this and jump in and be aggressive and let's go to work. So I'm not there yet, but I'm, all in good time.
Yeah.
I feel like there's certain phases of my life where I'm like, oh, I've got to take advantage of this one. It's like, look, just relax.
Just relax.
Let it flow.
Are there things that you planned or that you knew you wanted to do kind of after you were done racing? Or
Well, I mean, stuff with the wine. So like the first thing I did after it was over with was I went to, Napa and, went to an event called Auction Napa Valley that, is a huge charity event that raises, you know, $15 million in a night and gives back to the Valley and kids and all kinds of things, disasters. And, so, you know, starting with that and then, I'm coming to the CrossFit Games and,
going
on vacations and, you know, I'm excited to watch my boyfriend play football and,
season's coming.
I love football. I've always loved football. So, I'm excited to do those kinds of things and have more time for myself, but I'm also excited for, you know, the wine. I'm excited to develop the clothing line more. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to figure out what I want to do in the health and wellness and fitness and space. Mm-hmm. Like, do I want to have, you know, some kind of a cooking show? Do I want to write another book of some kind? Do I want to write just a cookbook? Do I want to, you know, what do I want to do? I also don't mind speaking. I used to hate it. Not hate it. I just didn't want to do like a speech and I still don't really want to do speeches, but thank God people are coming around to Q&As.
Yes,
and so I'm like, I'm good to talk for a good 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like that's fine. I can do an introduction and talk to people about my life a little bit, but I love Q&A because I think that it breaks it up and it gives people a chance to get their question answered and also be really like casual and funny to people.
Real,
exactly.
I love that.
So, you know, I really like that. And I like inspiring. I think that that's one of the things that I was so scared would go, you know, one of the fears of being gone from this platform that was so big in racing of being able to inspire kids or people to, you know, do something that other people don't do or just dream. And, but I can do that in other spaces.
Absolutely.
So it's not like it has to go away. I just have to figure out what other spaces I really want to push that in.
Absolutely. And a great example of like, we've been talking about retiring from one thing or moving on and still being able to use all of those skills and all of those, you know, things that you've developed from being in your sport and use those in other avenues. And they're all very applicable.
Yeah. I'm fortunate that I have this platform that is still there. I'm, And I just want to use it in the right way and inspire. And I feel like I have a responsibility to that platform to do good things for people and to, you know, wake them up to some realities of life and to realities of the world and, you know, take control of their lives and stop thinking that it's happening to them and let and be in charge.
That's awesome. On that note, just talking about, I mean, I know you talk about this all the time or you get asked about this all the time, but about being a female in such a male-dominated sport and being kind of a trailblazer and doing so many things. Like, I know just recently hosting the ESPYs as the first female to host the ESPYs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what qualities about yourself do you think that you have that have allowed you to be that trailblazer?
From a young age, I was never put, like I wasn't put on the same platform as just girls. Like it was everyone.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, you're the best girl out there. It was, you know, how do you be the best period and like stop worrying about the differences, the small differences or the obvious differences. It's about how to be the best.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like that was kind of ingrained from a young age. And
was
so,
that from your parents?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yep. And so, you know, it's, and also not even just be the best, but forget it. Your best, which could be excessively better than everyone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's take it to the limit, your limit, not someone else's limit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't beat them by one, beat them by 100 if you can. So, that mindset was just ingrained from a young age. And I think that there's a nature, there's a nurture, right? So you're born with certain things, you're born with sort of a more of a higher knowing or a higher consciousness or understanding or confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some that aren't born with quite as much of that. And then also on top of that, of course, you have the nurture side with your family and your environment and where you grew up and how you grew up and your means and your, all those things.
Sure.
But, you know, it's your parents really do play an enormous role.
Huge.
And I've been I'm fortunate, you know, me and my sister who's she left. but we both because we were spoiled little brats growing up. Like we got everything we want. We would go to the store before we'd go to school.
Yeah.
Back when the limited 2TOO was cool.
I had all the sparkles from that store.
Oh yeah, I remember the daisy shorts and oh my god,
like
it was fantastic.
Super sparkly lime green jeans.
Oh yeah.
And, everything.
And we would go and we would get a whole wardrobe. Like not a it wasn't like a hand-me-down or like one new outfit.
Yeah.
It was like an entire wardrobe to start the school year. And, you know, I got a Mustang Cobra for my first car. Brooke got a BMW. Like we were spoiled. We had every making of being like
taking
unproductive
that for granted,
brats that did nothing in life.
Yeah.
Right. Just because we were fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but my dad would wake us up in the summertime in the morning and be like, don't waste the day, you know, and get us up. Even if he was at work and my mom was at work, you know, don't waste the day. And, you know, pushing us to be better and better and in loving and spending time with us. I think that's a thing that's somewhat, maybe not necessarily overlooked, but under valued is just pure time with your children.
Yeah.
Like I feel like children want their parents' attention, right? And they're going to do anything to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's going to be a good one, and sometimes it's a bad one.
Yeah.
But they're going to do something to get attention from you. And so if you already show it to them, then they're able to develop naturally into their own, you know, passions and, you know, follow that, right? I mean, God, our basement went from being like a dance studio to a tumbling room to it kind of evolves,
right,
of course, but you can kind of just be dreamy as a kid instead of just trying to do something for attention. So, you know, my parents, we are and still really are my parents' life. I mean, it's only because we have our own lives now that they're not our lives. But I think that they'd probably still let us live with them if we wanted to. I'm not gonna lie. I actually lived with my parents for a month this winter.
Yeah.
And then actually for the whole Indy 500, I stayed with my parents too. So
why not?
I spent like 2 months with my parents at my parents' house.
Yeah.
So,
I did that in med school too. When I was taking my boards, I went home so my mom could cook for me.
That's right. And my mom loves doing my laundry.
Yeah.
She'll wake up. She's like, here's your coffee. I'm like, this is really great.
That's so nice.
So I think that's something, it's just something that is never enough, really.
Yeah.
You can't love your parents enough unless you're enabling them in a poor way, which happens. But, you know, you got to just think of what's best for your children, and spending time with them, I think, is the probably the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, and I think that's made a big difference in my sister and I's lives where we can, where we just kind of grew and evolved naturally instead of looking for attention in unhealthy ways.
That's amazing. What about, so I know, I mean, this can be true for men too, but for a lot of women, I think, have more of a tendency to let doubt creep in or to not have confidence in their abilities to maybe make those leaps that we were talking about earlier, to do what it is they're passionate about, or, you know, stand up for themselves. Do you ever have, like, does doubt ever, I mean, you're such an intense person. You're so decisive in everything you do in your sport. You have to be so, yeah. so confident.
Yeah.
Does doubt ever creep in, and how do you, how do you deal with it? How do you let that kind of just pass and focus on what you have to do?
In racing in particular, which is, you know, the competing at the highest level of, you know, motorsports, you know, being the example, there'd be times where I'm like, maybe I'm just not good enough, you know? And then I'm like, wait, I've been doing this for 20 whatever years, whatever year, you know, whatever, wherever it crept in at that time. And, you know, I didn't get here because I suck. Like, I've had to prove myself every time I get given the opportunity to pass or fail. I pass and, you know, exceed the expectations. And I'm like, you know, you have to kind of derive from your history a little bit to go, no. Re-rationalize yourself, Danica. Like, you know, and then you also, and this is only something that's more, grown and evolved and matured over, you know, the last handful of years, but understanding how powerful the mind is. And so, like, the little lesson that I was given, like, as a kid was I'd race go-karts and, you know, turn around and look where the car, you know, go-kart was behind me. Like, how far behind were they? And my dad would get so mad at me for looking behind me. He said, "You go where your eyes go." He's like, "Don't turn around." And so that was kind of that first little introduction into your mind is really powerful. And it's funny because I just watched, I did a, I was in a show called Passion of Play, Making of a Champion when I was 14. And the two other people in it were Tara Lipinski and Anna Kournikova.
No
and we were
way.
All 14 years old. And one of the things that I said in it was that basically, like, I can do anything I want to do. It's all in my power. And I'm like, holy shit, look at me
look
go.
At me at 14.
I know, right? I'm like, where did that?
So wise.
Gosh, I didn't even know I was that wise. Why didn't I say that to myself more often?
Yeah.
But then, you know, growing and understanding just, you know, further and further into the more metaphysical world of just the power of the mind. And, you know, there's certain things in science that aren't even understood just because, you know, we don't understand the mind properly because I don't think we understand dimensionally how we actually all work, from a spirit standpoint, from an existence, a consciousness standpoint. And so, but understanding that even more now, it's like, you know, just the simple things, like you wake up in the morning and you stub your toe or you drop your toothbrush and you don't say to yourself, it's going to be a horrible day. You'll be like, you laugh and you're like, oh, well, and you're just like, it's going to be a great day.
Right.
And you just got to fake it till you believe it if you're having that day. But yeah, it's like there's been things that have been proven over time for me, just that how important it is that to be strong in your mind. So, you know, when you have doubt, just realize that, if you let that doubt be repetitive in your mind, then that is exactly your new reality or your reality. You will never escape that reality of I suck, I'm ugly, I'm fat if you don't change the way you talk to yourself. And so positive self-talk. And so that has to be, that's a process. You're never going to just, you're not just going to go, oh yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
It's years of practice because, and years of practice, maybe just your whole life of practice, definitely years to get to a place where you're better at it. And, but it'll transform your life.
How do you get started? Is it just catching yourself in those moments and switching your story or?
Exactly. Yeah. It's identifying first. Cause I feel like, I don't know, like if we've all experienced where somebody will tell you something or you'll, you know, something will be a pattern and you can't get out of the pattern if you don't recognize what it is that you're doing. Right. And then all of a sudden you recognize and it's like an epiphany, right? You're like, oh, that's it. And it finally registers. And then you can start catching yourself cause you're going to keep doing it. And then you go, oh nope, it's going to be a great day. And then all of a sudden you start waking up and you're like, it's a great day. And it's just a transition and it's a growth,
easier.
Right? So you just, but first step is identifying. And once you can identify, you can start shifting the pattern. And, you know, I love, since I'm not a doctor, I have a GED, so I'm definitely not a doctor. But, you know, I've read about that being called neuroplasticity where you like retrain your brain and it is possible to do, but it just takes time.
And it's amazing, you know, talking about the power of the mind. There's actually this book that I have just been reading that's in relation to medicine. It's called How Healing Works. It's by Wayne Jonas. And it's basically looking at all this research that tells us that a majority of what we do in medicine is all placebo. And it's all, you know, people come to the doctor, they expect they're going to get better. They expect that the treatment's going to work. There's a ritual around healing, even to the point of surgery. A lot of that is placebo and this ritual that we create around it. So it's a fascinating book, but it talks a lot about that. And really it is. It's our whatever story we create and the beliefs that we create in our mind become our reality. That's and it's amazing how many times you see it. Even thinking about like, oh, I need to find someone to help me with this, or I need to find this in my life, and then it appears.
All of a sudden.
Incredible.
So I think and this is maybe a little deeper or a little bit more of a weird sort of direction, but I just really believe in that metaphysical world, and I think that consciousness, I mean, like, essentially, like, are you your eyeballs? Right, Julie? Yeah. Are you your arm? I mean, are you any of these things? You're really not any of those things, so strip it all away and What are you?
Yeah.
What are you?
Yeah.
And that's consciousness. And we don't understand it. Mm-hmm. We just don't. You know, like when you watch The Matrix and you're like, how does she bend the spoon? Like, we don't understand consciousness. And there's been people that have tried there's plenty. I mean, if anybody's curious about it, just start deep diving on YouTube. You'll start to, you know, read a lot of things. And
what are some of the things that have influenced you in that?
I remember watching The Secret. Do you remember that?
I never saw that.
So The Secret was came out in 2008. Maybe it's just the movie part of it came out, but there's a book too. And Rhonda Byrne, I believe, or Bynes, Brian, okay. I think is her name. And she it's just all about the power. It's the power of the mind. And, you know, if you think about not having enough money, that's exactly your reality. Yeah. If you think about, you know, abundance and wealth and getting checks, that's all of a sudden what you start to get. And so I know it sounds a little like, magical and fake, right? But what's the alternative? Keep thinking like horrible things?
Right.
Maybe just try thinking positive.
Right.
So that's kind of, I remember watching that. And then not long after, within a month or so after, I went to Japan and I won in Japan, the only IndyCar race I won. And I was like, I always kept
There's
that connection.
To this, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's funny, I watched it again in the last year or so. And, it's just like one of those great movies that's really, it's quite redundant on the topic and it kind of drills it in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you can watch it on Netflix or something like that. But I remember that being one of those things that I watched. I was like, oh my God, that's powerful and amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so yeah, but there's been all kinds of things. And then all the different things I watch on YouTube, the videos, the, you know, just understanding that all. And, you know, you can find all of it if you want to.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I remember, like, just in my last couple of years of competing in CrossFit, I went to Tony Robbins' seminar, which is kind of similar.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a, you know, you do a fire walk and it's all about, like, you know, creating the story in your mind and this absolute confidence that you're going to do it and you're not going to get hurt. And then this book, Think and Grow Rich. Have you heard of that one? Written by, I think it's Napoleon Hill, but it's like really, it's an old book and it's from back in like the Industrial Revolution or something, but they're talking about the exact same stuff. And all of these guys that were super successful and about how much it was just about telling themselves the story of what they wanted to be their reality.
Yeah. It's powerful stuff.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I want to start wrapping up. So I ask everyone three questions at the end of the podcast.
Okay.
First one is the top three things that you do. I'm sure you do way more than three on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on your health.
Nature walks.
Ooh, I love that. Do you do that? How often do you do that?
As often as I possibly can. I'd go every day if I could.
Yeah.
It gets hard depending on your environment.
Where you are, yeah.
But as often as I possibly can.
That's amazing.
It's even okay just to like get out and stand next to a pond or, you know what I mean? Like whatever,
water,
just like
therapeutic.
Under a tree. Like, so get out in nature. Affirmations, like even just having an affirmation. Sometimes I don't necessarily have one for the day, but maybe like the extension of the part B of this one would be go through your social feed and like start incorporating positive quotes into your feed, like follow people like that and get rid of the crap that you don't get rid of the judgmental stuff, the pictures that people just, you know, like the oh, look at me picture, you know, like get rid of those people, like whatever gives you negative thoughts.
Get rid of it.
Get rid of it. And
do you have like a mantra or something that you go to?
I have all kinds of them. Yeah. And in fact, there's a whole chapter in my book about mantras.
Love
so,
it.
So just a mantra of any kind, okay. even like it could be just like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, this too shall pass, or I'll thank myself later, or whatever, make it up. And then there are some go-tos that you have to, try harder,
try harder. Works every
so
time.
Yeah, that would be another one, is like a mantra of some sort to help you pull through. And then, what would be a third one? I think eating well.
Yeah.
Taking care of yourself. Self-care from a fundamental level of, like, taking care of yourself. Just simply, like, maybe it's even just taking some time for yourself every day. That's all. Like, instead of just giving, like, I'm not trying to say be selfish and just go do whatever you want. I mean, mm-hmm. there are people that do that. But what I'm saying is like, take 25 minutes to go work out.
Yeah.
Take an hour. Take a half an hour, go get a pedicure, go, you know, whatever it is that feeds your soul from a stimulation level or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, you know, kind of. And so like that kind of just follows along too with eating well. So mm-hmm. yeah, I'd say if I had to say one of all those things though, I'd say, take care of yourself nutritionally, be strong enough to stand up for yourself. Yeah. Maybe that'll be my third one.
That time.
Yeah. Cause there's so many people that get embarrassed to say like, I'm not going to eat that.
Right.
Or they're like, oh, that's my mom's food. Or that's his, you know, my mother-in-law's, or that's, you know, we're at a function and I can't. Screw that.
Right.
You think it's wrong to take care of yourself? It's wrong to not take care of yourself. Okay.
Right.
So if anyone has a judgment, an uncomfortable judgment against you for trying to treat yourself well and take care of yourself mm-hmm. from a health standpoint, is only threatened by the fact that you do it and they don't.
Amen.
So I don't ever feel bad telling people I won't eat something or I won't do something. I mean, I don't feel bad taking time to work out. I don't feel bad for that. I will do everything else in life I need to do, but I will also take care of myself and I will not compromise on that.
I love that. What about, so do you pretty much stick to paleo 100% of the time, or do you ever incorporate any kind of?
No, once I prove to myself something.
Yep, you're all in.
I'm all in.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, what's one thing that you think would have a big impact on your health, but you have a hard time implementing it, or you haven't
done it? More
sleep.
Naps.
More sleep.
Naps. Right. I'm horrible at naps. My boyfriend takes naps, and he's like, you really need to learn how to take naps.
Yeah.
So, like, I took a nap the other day, and I told him, and he's like, I'm so proud of you. It was my lazy day. I'm like, I even took a nap today. He's like, I'm so proud of you. I feel like a 4-year-old where I'm like, somebody's proud of me for like finishing my plate and taking a nap.
That's awesome.
I need to take more. Maybe I need to sleep a little bit more.
I love it. Yeah. Do you have, with kind of your mantra or your mantras and your affirmation, do you have like a meditation or a spiritual practice that you do?
I do. I was just having this conversation with my girlfriend about, we have this personality where, I said it and then she's like, I feel the same way, but it's like, I've realized in the last few years that I won't, especially the last few years that I won't do something unless I know I can do it all the way.
Okay.
So, like that's kind of why I'd always been afraid of doing speeches and things. I'm like, I don't have time to focus on this, you know? And I won't do it if I'm not amazing,
right.
or at least I think I'm going
to
be amazing.
Or even, you know, to be able to put the time in that you
exactly.
need to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for me, like a proper meditation is definitely 30 minutes and it really, really needs to be uninterrupted. Like I need silence.
That's
like
hard,
it's very difficult to get where you need to get in a meditation when there's distraction, including my damn dogs. I love them to death. I love animals, period. But Ella is really, really all about me and she'll just lick me and things. I'm like, this is not helping
not
my
working.
Meditation. So I do. And I really do. I do open up consciously and get messages and even see things. And it's, I just have to have the time to get there.
Yeah,
and I wish I did
amazing.
It more often.
How often do you do it usually?
Man, every few weeks. I mean, I wish I could say that I was like, oh, every day.
All
no,
time,
I really
yeah.
don't. I mean, I really, it's like
it's
every
hard.
Few weeks. And it's always very, very profound, but it's just, I need to get there.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Yeah. All right. Last question is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
A healthy life is when I treat everyone when I'm in a good mood and able to treat everyone well. because that means that I feel comfortable in myself. I'm not threatened by things. I'm taking care of myself. And once you learn how to take care of yourself, you learn how to take care of other people too. Our relationships are a reflection of ourselves. That way, when someone looks at you, if you're like, oh, I'm not going to eat that, they're like, really? I mean, it's because they're insecure. Yeah. So don't let someone's projection onto you feel like it's your problem. It's really their problem. And so if I'm not projecting onto other people, I know I'm in a good place. If I'm not projecting insecurities, if I'm not projecting anger, selfishness, whatever it may be, if I'm not projecting onto people and I'm able to allow people to be themselves and be patient and grateful and kind, then I know I'm doing things right. But it's when I'm projecting, I know that I need to work on something. So it's really, I see it in the way that I treat people as to where I'm at.
I love it. That's perfect.
It's not very specific answers,
no,
but
I
take
love
care
that because
yourself.
We talk about that all the time, and especially in medicine, you know, needing to set the example and take care of yourself first before you can take good care of other people. But that's such a great way to think about it.
Yeah, it's trying to it's really recognize it's a complicated concept.
Yeah,
I've had a hard time with it, but it's if you can just look at what you have reactions to when you're quick to judge or have a reaction to something that's negative or doesn't feel right or feels it's just negative, period. Then look at yourself and why you reacted like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the work that needs to be done.
Yeah. That's a great outlook, great perspective. Well, perfect note to end on. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been super fun.
Thanks, Julie. It's been really fun.
And we'll go enjoy the rest of the games now.
Yeah, yeah. 3-2-1.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. I loved this conversation with Danica, and I hope you did too. One of my favorite parts about our conversation was talking about how important it is to have positive self-talk when you're trying to achieve any of your goals. We want to know, how do you work to improve your own self-talk and ignore thoughts of doubt? Let us know on social media using hashtag pursuinghealth. To make sure you never miss an episode and to receive exclusive content from me, head to my website, juliefouché.com, and subscribe to my email list. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, don't forget to share your stories. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send me an email at info@juliefouché.com. I'll choose some of these inspiring stories to share here on future episodes. Don't forget you can train with me through Beyond the Whiteboard by visiting trainwithjuliefouché.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Pursuing Health. This episode is brought to you by a company that's made my life significantly easier, and that's Thrive Market. Thrive Market is an online marketplace, and they're on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. It allows you to shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below retail prices. But as a Pursuing Health listener, you'll receive an additional 25% off your first purchase plus a free 30-day trial if you visit www.thrivemarket.com/ph. My husband Danny and I have been ordering from Thrive Market for years, and it's helped us to maximize our efficiency with grocery shopping and meal prep in the midst of our busy schedules through medical training. Using Thrive Market, we can shop for all of our staple grocery items, things like nut butters, cooking oils, snacks, dressings, coffee and tea, even personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies, and non-toxic beauty products. We know that they're coming from a curated list of products we can trust. Whether you're looking for paleo, vegan, ketogenic, gluten-free, non-GMO, sustainably farmed, fair trade certified, or any of 80 plus other types of products, you can easily find them by filtering on Thrive Market's platform. And they're all at prices 25 to 50% below retail. Even better, these items are shipped straight to your doorstep, so you never have to worry about the time or hassle of grocery shopping. Here's a few other reasons to love Thrive Market. First, they're the very first company in the country to go 100% zero waste. All of their packaging, boxes, and inserts are made from recycled paper and are recyclable themselves. They're the largest retailer in the country that sells exclusively non-GMO groceries, and more than 70% of the Thrive Market catalog cannot be found on Amazon. It provides greater access to high-quality products at prices comparable to conventional products in supermarkets. This helps to decrease the barriers to healthy living for everyone. We also have the opportunity to vote with our forks every single day to change our food environment in this country. And Thrive Market can help us do so by supporting companies that are also working towards this mission and producing high quality, healthy, and sustainable foods. So that's why I love Thrive. Thrive's mission again is to make healthy living easy and approachable to everyone, and this aligns perfectly with my own personal mission and that of pursuing health. Because it's been such a lifesaver for me, I wanted to share the benefits of Thrive Market with all of you, and they've responded with an amazing offer. So once again, head to thrivemarket.com/PH to receive 25% off your first purchase plus a free 30-day trial. Again, this is on top of their already 25 to 50% below retail prices. Why not try it out and do your grocery shopping from home this week? I hope you can take advantage of this offer and enjoy their service as much as I have. Once again, head to thrivemarket.com/PH to learn more. No discount code necessary. Just shop around and the discount will be applied at checkout. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage breed pork directly to your doorstep. Now, I think meat can have a place in a well-rounded diet, but there is a huge, huge difference when it comes to animals raised in feedlots that are fed primarily corn and soy and routinely given growth hormones and antibiotics, and those that are responsibly raised, fed their natural diet, and never given growth hormones or antibiotics. ButcherBox gives me some peace of mind, knowing that I can trust my meat is the highest quality out there and that it will taste amazing. They allow you to order curated or custom boxes of meat, and they always come with recipe ideas for you to explore. My husband Danny and I are super excited about firing up our backyard grill this summer to enjoy our ButcherBox selections with tons of vegetables from our local CSA. And you can join us. ButcherBox is extending an awesome offer to you for listening to Pursuing Health. Just head to butcherbox.com/Julie for $20 off your order, plus a free order of their delicious bacon. Again, that's butcherbox.com/Julie. Hope you can check it out and that it makes your life a little bit easier, just as it has done for us.